I'd like to invite the children to come up and be with me. Do we have any kids today? Will you please look under the pews? Over here, anything? Check the windowsills. She could be a child, but she's not. Remember, wedding next January, don't be late. All right, she's here early, but she's here. You know what, you would make a perfect subject today for what I had planned. And here's the question I was going to ask Mariah. You ready for this? I want you to think in your mind the most unusual vacation you ever had. And remember, your parents are here. Think that you'd like to share a most unusual vacation. How old were you? Oh, she's getting help. She has a lifeline here. How old?
Four.
You're 4 years old. What do you remember?
Hiking up a mountain.
Nice. And where was the mountain?
In Germany.
The country of? Nice. Good.
Germany, yeah.
Yes, nice. Good. And what do you remember about that that makes it unusual?
Being tired.
Oh, okay.
And
did you did you want to go up the mountain?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. If you were to repeat the vacation today, would you do it?
Yes.
No, there you go. There, see, that's the test right there. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. Who else has an unusual vacation story? Yeah, Judy.
Bob and I went helicoptering in British Columbia many years ago.
Wow.
And I would do it again.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you for sharing that, Judy. Somebody else have an unusual vacation, maybe a place, or you were at an odd age where it just seemed unusual? Anybody? Jane, how about you? Have you been to Cape May?
I've been to Russia.
You've been to Russia?
Yeah, actually, when I was a junior in college, my grandmother took us to the Lehigh County Community College on a trip to Russia, and I stood on New Year's Day in
Well, very nice. Wow, very cool. Trip to Russia, I love that. Would you do it again? Okay, all right. All right. How about another one?
Cuba.
Cuba. Kevin, talk.
Mission trip in 2003 and, you know, taking off from Miami International in 45 minutes, being in a different world that you've only heard of in the news, and it looks like going back in time because all you saw were cars that you only read about and seen pictures of. And I've always said that if I ever was stranded on a desert island, I'd want a Cuban with me because they're the most resourceful people in the world because they didn't have parts for these cars.
Right, right. Yes, excellent.
On that similar, we were stationed in Europe, so she was able to go hanging in Germany. And we visited East Berlin when it was still East Berlin, when it was still hard. And that was both scary and interesting. And the same thing, the little tiny cars that they drove were really kind of aviators, but somehow they kept them together.
How about that? Would you go back there to that area? Okay. All right.
I'll use it as a segue for that. They were most interested in my wife because being a female officer in the Army, they were not used at all to seeing her in uniform.
Ah, all right. Very good. Thank you for your service. Yeah, Charlie? That would, and you wouldn't go back. Nice. I knew we'd come to a vacation where you would not repeat it. Okay, one more, John.
In farm, Eagles, near Pennsylvania. And father invited me up, and we went, and it was a, I even remember it was a 40 to the south. And we hours, and I thought, this will never end. We finally got to this farm, and it was one of the best summers. It had a back porch on this building, and the farms were all over the place. And I even learned how to milk a cow. And another thing, we went out one evening, and we shot two deer for meat, for food, for these people. And they handed me a rifle, and I'd been shooting rats in the creek all my life. So I did. They said, "You, it's your shot." So I did, and the thing jumped up and kept running. So, but that was really a real experience for me.
Wow, well, that's a lingering memory. Thank you for sharing that, John. One of the neat things about vacations, you know, that word vacation, the root word is vacate. And to vacate something means something that's ordinarily in its place is temporarily absent. So when you vacate or go on vacation, you're temporarily, sometimes long time, you know, but relatively speaking, you vacate for a period of time in order to prepare you to come back to your place. It's a vacation. You're vacating. You're the one doing the vacation. You're vacating your space to prepare yourself to come back to your place to be 100% again, to be refreshed and rejuvenated. So if you think of it that way, church every Sunday could be a vacation. Let's thank God for taking us places and returning us safe that we can celebrate. Dear God, thank you that you put us in a place. But every now and again, you provide resources that allow us to go to enjoy, to serve, to experience new things, to meet new people, to experience new cultures, languages, food. We thank you, whether far or nearby, that these vacations can rejuvenate us. And we're grateful for opportunities to be out of our place and that you invite us back to our place to love and serve in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for sharing your stories today. Please join with me in the prayer for illumination. Let us pray. God, as we listen to your word, open our hearts and minds to consider new opportunities to learn, grow, and serve. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson can be found in the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. It's on page 686. It's from Isaiah 55. This is the appointed reading for today. Isaiah 55. And I'll be reading verses 10 to 13. This is the word of God. Listen. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, shall come up the cypress, and instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall never be cut off. Amen. Our New Testament lesson is from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the people in Rome. It can be found in the Pew Bible on page 157, if you'd like to follow along. Romans chapter 8, I'll be reading the first 11 verses. This is the word of God. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of Christ, of the life in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. And since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give your life and your mortal body's life through his Spirit that dwells in you. Thanks be to God. Amen. The gospel lesson is taken from Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'll be reading from the Message this morning. I invite you to listen. There are two sections in Matthew. The second part is Jesus' explanation and detail of what was in the first part, and you'll tell where that break occurs. And this is the good news about Jesus. At about that same time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation, telling stories. What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed, and he scattered the seed, but some of it fell on the road, and the birds ate it. Some of it fell on the gravel, and it sprouted up quickly, didn't put down roots. So when the sun came out, it withered just as quickly. Some of it fell in the weeds, but as it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. But some fell on good soil and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Jesus asked, "Are you listening to this? Really listening?" Jesus continued, "Study the story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so when evil comes along and plucks it, it takes it right out of that person's life. This is the seed the farmer scatters just on the road. The seed cast in the gravel, this is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there is no soil of character. So when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds is like that person who hears the kingdom news, but the weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard. So nothing comes of it. But the seed cast on the good earth That is like the person who hears and takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Let us pause for a moment and consider what you have heard today from Isaiah about God's word not being wasted and shall return to accomplishing what it was sent for, and from Romans when we learn that we're no longer judged, and the story of Jesus. In silence, just consider, what have you heard? Amen.